Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley, and finally, we have a nice surprise for you guys because we finally have Crack and Corey returning after a few months out of the game. And then we also have the Lassie returning from last week here to answer to some questions that some people have for him from last week. So, yeah, first of all, make us start with Crack because Crack, I think Crack is the one who has been away the longest. Crack, what happened?
Charlie, then last week, Seth, then I twist my ankle. Then I sprained my ankle. So I did. I be small Apache. I don't really go anywhere. I just work from home the whole time.
How you sprain your ankle? Because you know they do any sports. You know they do any active work. So which ankle sprain?
Hey, Cinema.
I'm really shocked.
From which sport did they do?
I'm really shocked.
Ah, wait, oh, you guys won't see my soccer footages or what? Like,
when be the last time you play ball? You be coach. Everybody knows that I'm a coach. So where you go sprain your ankle for?
No. Make I tell you something. You can't see. I come from a footballing community. I always tell you, bro. If you don't know about playing, you don't be coaching anybody. And aside that too, we didn't play Fridays and Saturdays. So Saturday morning, I had a knock. But the pain was there, but it not be the knock. I come out and they go carry meat from freezer. Apparently, water leak for the freezer, and I know see that when I sleep rather for kitchen, when my leg go enter the freezer under, we lock my. That's what Charlie. So
I don't understand. I'm like, sure also. Looney Tunes.
See, Saturday. I tell you that Saturday, be like the hormone gods targets me. Say, hey, no go chop quick. So, yes, so Charlie. So I go through and why this week. Today we I make okay small.
Anyway, it's good to have you back because Charlie, people have been crying for you for the past few months. Every time, where's crack? So Charlie, welcome back.
Charlie. I'm worried with team in your DSR, Charlie.
Corey, the second person who has been out for probably like 2 or 3 months. Charlie, Corey, what's up?
I'm good, my G. Good to be back. Good to see certain fans in pain. It's good to see the just general turmoil. It's beautiful to watch. I saw a team that I don't want to get into it now. You will get there.
See how your team they win. So right now it's all smiles again. Another 2 months.
We are Arsenal fans. You just wait.
I didn't give up 2 months. Football will left inside again.
My happiness right now has nothing to do with Arsenal in general. It has to do with one person, just one. They're still getting some question marks, but me, I get the one player me I want. So me.
That's good. We'll get into that one. And finally, the last thing. How are you feeling? Last week, it was all optimism and stuff. Now?
Oh, the optimism still there. But disappointing weekend. It'd be like last week, I ruffle some feathers. Today, I can't ruffle some more. So, let's do this.
So, yeah, we'll get into Premier League action in a bit. But we'll keep things off with the Isak transfer saga. First of all, I don't even know why Isak left it too late to start his whole thing. But
you know my number.
Yeah. But yeah, over the past few weeks, we've been seeing a lot of controversy between Newcastle and Liverpool over Isak. It all started when Isak basically pulled out of pre-season training. According to him, he said he had some injury, he had some back pain. You know, one thing players love to do is when they want to pretend like they have an injury, they say they have back pain. Back pain, there's no way to verify whether it be true or not. So it's just for taking word for him. So it all started with that. And since then, it's just been degenerating into more and more negativity. And on Monday, which was the day of the PFA Player of the Year Awards, it all hit a crescendo when Isak put out a statement on his Instagram right after he was voted into the PFA Team of the Season. He basically accused Newcastle of failing to fulfill some promises that they made to him. According to him, he told them from last season that was going to be his last season. He wanted to move on, blah, blah, blah. So Newcastle reacted to it in a very negative way. They said that they've decided that he's not leaving again. So the whole thing is just a a messy situation all around. And there's a lot of talk about how Isak has gone about things. A lot of Newcastle fans are extremely disappointed because last season he was the beloved Newcastle soldier. Now he's public enemy number one. And people outside of the Newcastle supports group or whatever it is are also accusing Isak of acting very unprofessionally. But then there are also others who are very much in support of him. They are saying that when clubs want to get rid of players, they also resort to very harsh tactics. We've seen Chelsea creating a whole new dressing room for their bomb squad, Di Sassi and Co, where they said, Charlie, we want to keep you guys separate from the rest of the actual first team squad. So there's a lot of controversy about the whole thing. So make us start with Di Sassi first. How do you feel about this entire Isak situation? Do you think you support players when they resort to such tactics to leave a club, or you think it's just an unprofessional thing for them to do? They're supposed to honor their contract.
For this particular scenario, I know that Isak came back because you still have 3 years left on his contract, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't see the position of power like you are coming from. Also, unless I'm mistaken, clubs are allowed to set whatever valuation they want for their players. So the number, the promises they say, he says they made him, we don't know. Me, I did hear say they told him 100 million. I also heard 150 million. So this be how they see him. Like, okay, fine. Newcastle made promises to you that next season they'll allow you to go to Liverpool. And I think Newcastle tried to get a replacement striker. Like, they tried and it didn't work out. Clearly, they don't have as much pull as they thought they had. So the reason I think like Liverpool are the villains is you make Newcastle go get Ekitike. So say you go have free reign to Isak. And I think Newcastle would have been fine with that. But you go buy Ekitike where the number here be 150. So you come where you lowball them 110. Where it will take. Like, how go bab that thing? You know, bab. So, and I think Isak, look, it's a World Cup year and it is your career on the line. Are you going to sit on the bench for 1 year? Are you going to say you're going to play for 1 year? You know, bab, like, or you go sit on the bench for 3 years? I did have this conversation with my friends today and they were like, you know, the matter of, like, Isak, like, he can't be forced to play matches and fair enough, I guess. But again, it's a World Cup year. You for day on form, you for play football. So look, at this point, it's clear he's not leaving Newcastle. If Newcastle won't be fucking, like, they go take the loss and sell you to some other club. He's not going to Liverpool. Now and you know, they happen. If Liverpool really wanted him, they should have put all their resources into getting him. Now, I don't support his antics because it is unprofessional, because there is a contract and the contract is there to protect both the club and the player. Even when the club is being fucking, they still have to play. Sorry, they still have to pay their players. So, Charlie, I know they're back. That'd be my own. I've heard various opinions on the subject, but I think, yes, it's not an ideal situation for him. He would have liked to go to Liverpool. I think Newcastle were willing to let him go, but circumstances didn't allow for that to happen. So the wise thing to do is to still keep playing football, show that you are the real deal, and let's see what happens next season. But if you want to sit the bench, sick of, you know, they get where you want to go, Charlie, it'd be up to you. It'd be what Isak Gofi like deal with, or what loss Newcastle is willing to take, because they get money. So if maybe say they go pay you your 100,000 a week, then go pay you. But yeah, if you lose, it's a lose-lose situation for everybody, Charlie. So, man, I know Isak in background.
Crack, Isak Newcastle, how do you feel? Do you support the player in these situations, or you think they're supposed to be professional?
I mean, I've always been player empowerment. In anything, I've always been player empowerment and anti-establishment. But this is not a finance company, right? And you are being paid to do a job. And I believe that in this case, the best possible way, based on your talent and sense, you should have a buyout clause in your contract negotiation. I always believe in buyout clause. No matter how ridiculous it is, there should be a figure. There should be an agreement. We don't deal with gentleman's agreements. We don't deal with word of mouth that I've told you that, okay, next season, if I get this money, I'll let you go. Look at Jokeres. Jokeres had he had it on paper with Sporting, right? And there was still a gentleman agreement that go, I'll let you go. But Sporting wanted close to the value because seeing the goals he gets and says, I wasn't about to let you just go for the 60 like that. So something small for the boys and things for Adam. But it wasn't crazy. It was still around that figure. You knew that there was something on paper. You, Isaac, bro, you are one of the best number nines in world football now. Right? You are one of the best number nines in world football now. So if you want to be sold, guy, have a buyout clause in your contract with Newcastle. You coming to Newcastle, you don't say Arab money that boy come Newcastle. Don't act like Newcastle is one of the powerhouses in England. You weren't coming to a United, you weren't coming to a Liverpool, you weren't coming to an Arsenal, right? You weren't coming to a Chelsea, one of the big teams. You're coming to Newcastle. And we all know that Newcastle's resurgence is because they've invested money into the team. So your team should have been smarter than like, guy, do I see myself here for a decade? Do I see myself here for 5 years? You should have a plan. That you know that, Charlie, if I enter the negotiation where they do that, says, guy, 3 years, 2 years on my contract, I should be worth this by then. Whether I go up, whether like I exceed my expectations or I lower my expectations, there should be a range guiding this. Right? Right now, you made a thing that look like Liverpool did the target where I go take, replace you, then take them. Right now, and then to the machine money they won't give because they know the player wants to go. I mean, like, to what end? If you have 3 years on your contract and you don't have a buyout in your contract, bro, forget. You don't have the power. The club has the power. Because as the last talk, you guys, every week, your pay go hit your account. If the club not get money, say, before pay you. If you not pay, you go strike. So the club too, into it, they run business. It not be charity they run. You know they run family and friends thing. It's business. Guy, I don't have a replacement for you. I couldn't get a replacement for you. I tried. And the team that you wanted to go took my replacement. And the other one too that I wanted to get, United too, took him. I don't want to make you go. You get 3 years left on your contract. I don't need that money. If you have been real, Newcastle know they need that money. EPL teams generally don't need that money like that. You should know that. Unless they have some level of... then they make money for the TV rights and things.
Newcastle is a Champions League team.
Yeah, and Newcastle, bro, in as much as Newcastle can't spend like the United cost, you know, all this financial fair play and all those things. But guy, they are not a broke team. They run the business. They gotta let you know that I don't need your money. Because it be Arab money. You understand? And me, I'm all for showing players this thing. If you clap to, you get the power. Because you have 3 years left on your contract. I am not about to let you call the shot. If it was a year, you have the upper hand. A year, say if some class be stubborn, they will make you go on a free rider. I can't blame the club. It's like it's lucky that no matter if you don't play for a year, say, Sweden go call up. Sweden, because Sweden don't get anybody. But as right now, you talk, say, your back, they pay you. Your back will pay you forever. Because if you come back, where doctors say you'll be fit. As this thing happened for, it happened for basketball all the time. Ben Simmons do some recently when as he did the Nets. Go talk say him back. They go do back surgery and all those. He go heal. If you sit down, NBA go find you. You understand? Club go find you. So right now, if you come back where you say you don't play, the club will continue to find you and you'll be there. But luckily, I don't think it will affect his World Cup chances because they don't have anybody like if he and Jokeres, basically, for the Sweden there. And if a player like Isaac Sev no they play, he will still be training, be in condition to still play for Sweden. So that really will not affect him. But in this case, me and the Newcastle in back. I know they Isaac in back.
Corey, at the moment it's 2-0. Are you going to support? Are you going to support player power or? Because your club has, we've seen your club also doing using some harsh tactics on some beloved players like Ozil being frozen out. I think Aubameyang was also frozen out at some point. So
exactly,
who do you support?
That's it's very tough. They've created quite a mess for themselves, and to be honest, it's very difficult, especially for me to choose a side because I understand both sides. It's hard for me. It's even harder for me because Gyökeres kind of did the same thing. He also said, I'm not going to play for my team, and then I want to go to this thing. And me, because me, I'll be the buying club, my eye fucking yet. Where they sit back, yeah, make you tell them, make you don't go to training, make you don't go, unless you decide that, make you don't go.
The hypocrisy of football fans, Sally.
Bro, so I sit there and I go like, but if that was happening to my club, I'd be like, should I get this guy out of my club, bro? If you don't want to be here, go. It's really that, like, if we want people that, as Frank said, we want people that want to be at our club. If you don't want to be there, Charlie, go. But Isak too is a fool. A very big one. You had Arsenal kissing your ass since last year when they started to do links. Oh, Arsenal, they like this guy. Newcastle say 150. We sing him. They want to someday inside. People were kissing your ass. Come end of the season, crack talk. You didn't say Jack Rabbit. You didn't say you wanted to leave. You didn't say you wanted a new challenge. Because even your approach, Gyökeres, before the season end, he tell him, say, boss, I did beg you. Summer come, I won't bounce. Me and you, we talk some agreements. He says 60 mil, cool. Arsenal come, they say, oh, you take this one, something small for the boys. We wait and collect the player bounce. You, Isak, if you wanted to leave, you sat down, watch Gyökeres go. You sat down, watch Ekitike go. To the club, that was like, it's so rude. I've never seen such rudeness in the transfer market. I say, give me your player that I will buy your target. When you can't say, Charlie, then you come up for that. So now that you're going to go and buy my targets, then you won't come buy my player too. Oh, come on, bro. Like, I'm not going to pick your horse if. Why I won't even negotiate with you because you've created such a toxic environment. As the last say, if you wanted Isak, could that make Newcastle go pick the Magab? But you put couple of some arrogance, give me Isak or I will take you on this thing. Then you go take out, you can't again say collect 120, then give me the player. Hey bro, I'm not gonna pick your core set. Isak that is doing this, my back, I'm not going to play. Player power is very strong. It's very, very, very strong in football. Because if you put me for the packed up way, well, unless there's something in the contract that says if you don't play well, then Gofi find you. Because if you give me ball where I pass, then I understand. Make run. I know go make run. Like they are the product. So they have a lot of the power. But again, the other point is that you have 3 years on your contract. You had no agreement with Newcastle to bounce this summer. You didn't say it in the beginning of the summer. You didn't say, Charlie, the window they can't close next week in Baku. Now before you won't move. When you want and Newcastle to, then they wire because they're pool not strong like the way they thought. Even we scientists, they're if you get their boys, then they struggle. Because everybody sees it, now you don't want to solve your problem. So you go bear the money. But overall, they are both quite stupid in the way they've handled this. As an outside fan, it's beautiful watching the turmoil because that tag team for head, that Newcastle team, I don't want any happiness in their camp. So what they're happy for me right now, they join me. I'm very, very happy about it. I hope he continues. He doesn't get his move. He sits on the bench. There's more toxicity in the team. It'd be lovely. I didn't like him. But I still do think he will move before the window closes. And I do think Newcastle will have to cave eventually. But it brings up the question that any player could get up one morning, they say, I won't bounce. And then you have to. So I also understand where Newcastle's coming from, where they're trying to stand their ground. It's like, you ain't going freaking nowhere. You go back, you're on a contract, you play, and you and you play until we say you're ready to go.
I think it sets a bad precedent if Newcastle caves in.
Newcastle cave, yeah, I agree with you. It's,
in this window. They go fee hold out until January window or the next window. But if they cave this window, yeah, Charlie, it's just a bad precedent. And
it's a bad precedent.
What negotiations you do? Because it clearly there's a pattern. Because he was at Sociedad for 3 years and then left to Newcastle. So clearly he has a 3 year thing. Why you no put for the like the contract as I say after 3 years, yeah, make release clause day so Sociedad will left.
But
like,
that's
my question. And there are a lot of varying responses, but me to me is simple. You not say you are the shit. You after 3 years you go ball out. You want left to a bigger club. Put it in your contract. Or
you see, the question I ask is that when Arsenal started doing the links, I was like, this would be very random. Like, you just get up, you go to your rival and say you won't move. Meaning, say they hear something say move D. Like, there's a move available. But why wasn't anything? He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything until August. After people see the way the window even opened 1 week, people blow money fast.
You know, this is actually the biggest issue in the whole thing for me. What you're just saying, the fact that he waited till it was so late, because he started doing all of this, I think, at the beginning of August or something, and that's very late in the window to start doing anything. I think from beginning to now, him and whoever is advising him have been very naive about the way they've gone about everything. First of all, from whatever gentleman's agreement you claim you had with Newcastle, you're talking about Arab owners. Arab owners, we've seen how they treated Mbappe. They operate with a certain ego. I think because they're used to having their way in everything, they don't like feeling like somebody's pushing them around or somebody's just treating them anyhow. So if you're not going to have it written on paper, whatever verbal agreement you have with them is probably not going to count, because they just have a certain ego they move with. And then on top of everything, apart from like you waiting to is this late, like Delassi said, Liverpool are trying to lowball Newcastle. Liverpool's tactics in all of this, I think to some extent, maybe Liverpool also encouraged Isak to do all of this so that maybe to bring the transfer fee down. But the even if you're going to do all of this, you have to also show more seriousness to at least meet him halfway. I don't think they've shown any seriousness in all of this to even warrant his behavior. Because if somebody's going to encourage you to go on strike and burn all your bridges, the person has to be ready to also help you to at least make you not look stupid. Because at the moment, he looks very stupid in everything he does. Because if Liverpool don't present at least a reasonable offer, then he's going to look stupid at the end of the window, because it's like you fight for a team that is not really fighting that much for you. Because everybody from the beginning of the window knew that you're not going to get Isak for 100 million or 110 million.
Facts.
In the same market that Caicedo is going for 110 million or whatever it is that he went for. So at the very least, you put up a reasonable offer. Maybe if Liverpool offered, say, 130 million and Newcastle rejected it, I think maybe people would have more sympathy for him and say that, okay, these people now, they are being unreasonable. The guy wants to leave. You've gotten a good offer. So like maybe you can even try and restructure the deal, try and negotiate. But for you to offer like between 100 to 110 million after all of this,
disrespectful. I
think it's very disrespectful. And honestly, in general, like I've always been a player power sort of person when it comes to these things, because I've always seen how the clubs can treat players when they want to get rid of them.
And they do.
But earlier, I was following a conversation that some people were having, and the person was saying that, like, you can say all you want, but in the end, the club's obligation to the player is to pay them. The player's obligation is, once I've been paid, you have to do what the club wants you to do. Because as you there for your job, you know, if you talk, say, okay, I collect my salary, but I won't move, go MTN, or I won't go, so I'm not gonna do the work. Like, I think sometimes we are a little too understanding for players, like give them a little too much understanding. Maybe I don't know why it is, but like in the end, the club's obligation is, I'm supposed to pay you this amount every week. I'm paying you this amount. That is all. What I decide to do with you after I pay you is not really your concern. Like, it's not, obviously it can hamper your career if the club is not playing you and everything, but in the end, once they're paying you, they are fulfilling their end of the bargain, unless there's other stuff in the contract that we are not privy to. So in the end, once the club is paying you, for like Delassi was saying, it sets a bad precedent for players, if this particular thing works out in Isak's favor. Like in other situations, maybe the Gyökeres one, that one I understand, because from the beginning of the window, he made his position clear. So that one, like, is for you to negotiate and everything. But once you've left it too late, you've seen that I've actually made efforts to get a replacement. It doesn't happen. And you're still going about this.
Smiley. Yeah. This August inside, August 24th, who get 120 million in a lie that way? Don't know what it is.
Liverpool, I don't know. I don't know where Liverpool get this financial muscle with, and they won't do bro. This season. After they buy Vince,
you won't buy 200 million players.
For,
you know, like,
I don't think Liverpool were ever going to do that, Charlie. I don't think they're ever going to
do that. I think for that, I go talk small for them in that regard, because in the last 2 years, first of all, last summer, they didn't spend that much. They only signed Mamardashvili, and they signed Chiesa for Chiesa. I think it was for like 15. 10 million or something. And then they've made a lot of huge sales. They've sold Darwin. They've sold
Luis Diaz.
They've sold a number of... Like, I think if you are looking at their net spend over the past two seasons, they're somewhere within the region of like 120 million or something. And for a club that has won the title, yeah, the money day. So me, that's what even makes it more annoying for me, that I know they have the money, but they are trying to lowball Newcastle after fucking them over, because you've got to take the replacements as we want it. Then you want lowball. Like, it's just pure disrespect from all angles.
You won't sign 200 mil players.
I understand, say, football hierarchy day. Yeah, like there are big clubs and there are small clubs. That one there is the reality of football. But Newcastle be a very proud club. Monday night, Liverpool go understand how they feel about this situation with the Bob. So, Charlie, like Liverpool be fucking in this situation. If you wanted him seriously and you had the money to spend, buy, like, go for your targets with precision and then move.
Why? Just to antagonize.
So if they get Isak. Ekitiko go sit the bench towards. Like, right now, he'd be there. Because he starts the season plus. Pass it. So, what? Then go play him on the wing Ekitiko and then Isak on there. We here. You know, they go Liverpool. If I be Newcastle, I won't sell to you, Charlie.
But whatever the case be, I don't think they bought Ekitiko and promised him a starting bet. That one, they don't promise him a starting bet. If Isak come, Ekitiko, they go bench. Daniel, you don't think so? About it.
Considering how much they say they are paying him,
90 million even for the bench.
Putting aside the transfer fee, apparently Ekitike is on 300k a week, and in the Premier League at the moment, I think there are only about 10 players who are on 300k
he's on what?
And above.
He's on 300k a week.
Sancho
in where you know one left now.
Yeah, and at the moment, in the Premier League, there are only about.
I'm confused because. Salah did about 400 to 450k a week.
You know,
Van Dijk. Then
you know, Craig, that's the reason why they didn't want to increase Salah's. Like, they didn't want initially to go to the level where Salah was asking for. Because the thing is, the moment you raise your wage ceiling, it creates room for everybody.
Everybody's going to negotiate based on that.
To negotiate based on that. Because if the highest paid be like 400k, and I feel like maybe I'm the second best player in the squad, I'm not going to accept 250k. Like, you for pay me, you know, for give me 400k, but you for give me like 350k. Yeah, so that's why clubs usually are very reluctant to increase their ceiling. Because the moment you go high, everybody two for four within that line. But yeah, but for the amount of money you're paying him, it's going to be very
And what people don't understand is that the Premier League is not like any other league. In terms of like how big clubs, if you bully the small clubs just like that. All right. I always say that I'm always happy how money they go into the league. If you stay afloat or you not get relegated, the TV right money alone is 100 million plus. All right.
Yeah, you're still and jumping.
Other leagues will die to have that. Like the team where you finish bottom four safe way, they're not relegated, they get 100 million. You understand? People they win some leagues, they get that money. Champions League money, they catch what people they get TV rights, let alone World Cup interest. So, and they get money from other sponsorship and things, because every team, every sponsor, like every company wants to sponsor some Premier League team, because they have the numbers, they have their fans, they have everything. It's the biggest league in the world. So that is why you have a player moving for 50 million in a Premier League, and you say, about this guy, what he do? English tax be different. EPL tax be different. Every club be proud. The money this, you go pay, if no pay, go. And this, and I always say that the small teams are an advantage, because you United, you know, go scout player for Botafogo under 19. Go buy him. Brighton will go do that job. In a year's time, the boy 10 star. Because he's a selling club. So you go, if you buy him £1 million, in a year's time, 10 star, you go tell yourself £45 million. You go pay or not? You if you don't pay, it's still the work for them. Somebody else go pay. But they already get succession planning. The player they come for in back day there. So I'm always happy with this, how the Premier League is run, in a sense that, like, Charlie, if you want my player, pay for his value. In value this. You really want them pay. If you don't want pay, go. That is why this thing, they vex Newcastle fans, in a sense. And Newcastle, in a sense, Liverpool right now, they won't negotiate from a position of power, because the player, they show dissent. Because the player, they talk, say, Liverpool or nothing. I'm not going to play for you if you don't sell me. So definitely, the player, they can't do. Liverpool, they wait last week of the transfer window, they can't do, Charlie. The guys still, they do this. So you, they take some 80 million. What's up? Your mind, they. You understand? That be what they can do. Your mind, they. Forgetting that your mind, they know they work for EPL team, especially a team like Newcastle. That your mind, they no good job.
Like, bro, they don't need the money.
Look,
and if they
will get, if they, mm-hmm. They've signed this player from Aston Villa. What's his name? This.
Morgan Rogers.
Oh, the midfielder. No. Ramsey.
It'd be Ramsey. They signed Ramsey. Ramsey. It's an attacker. It's an attacker, right? It's an attacking midfielder. I believe they'll get a striker before the window ends, and they'll not sell Isak unless Liverpool brings a 150 million. They are not going to go below 120 million pounds. Now, India, forget. They will not do that, because if all this drama will be worth it, they are going to make it worth their while. You are going to pay. You are going to bleed, because you go spend 140 million on wet. Then, what you do for football inside, we go spend that money on our boy. If you are be frank, what you do, Abi, Bundesliga, you win. Think about it. Aside, what you do? And you went to spend that amount on him, because they were like, that's his release clause. You go pay or not. And they kept on increasing it by small. You still paid. By a player like Isak in the Premier League, one of the best. He's not even one of the best. He's top three.
Top three. He scored top three
strikers in the league. Top three strikers in the league. In world football, I'm not sure he can even mention. Bro, you can't even mention five strikers better than Isak right now in the world.
Why do
you
can't do the inside?
No, Joker is not hyper. I know they count Portuguese league.
Are they ask Curry?
No, he's not.
Since we are switching into the Arsenal phase, let's just segue into Arsenal and what they've been up to over the past week.
Yeah, what did I talk?
On Saturday, we saw them finally announcing the signing of Eberechi Eze. And first of all, let me just say that was an amazing announcement video. When Tottenham announced Kudus, we're over here talking about how that was a really good announcement video, and how transfer announcement videos in general seem to be like a dying art. Because United, then we would carry that thing. But right now, because we shall, so we know they do announcement videos. And it's Jim Ratcliffe to also cast the announcement
video. Can't do piano.
He cut the budget for all of those things. So right now, you just get a tweet and that'll be all. So that was actually a very good announcement video. It puts me in my feelings. I hate Arsenal with all my heart. But I've watched that video like 10 times already. I didn't know. My mind just told me, say, let it all work out. The video be so sweet. But apart from that, like, Eze, you know, a lot of people have been saying that Arsenal with the, not just Arsenal, because a lot of opposition fans who have also been saying that it's a really huge signing for Arsenal, it's a statement signing, he's going to be the difference maker, blah, blah, blah. Others too are also saying that he's like 26 going on 27, he's been at Crystal Palace, he not really be game changer like that, like he's a good player, but he not be somebody where he move the needle. So, first of all, let me go to Corey. How do you feel about this Eze signing? Do you think it's actually going to be a game changer? Is he much better than what you already have in that position?
Yes. I know we'll make you finish. Yes. See, this boy came onto the scene in about 2021, 2022. That'd be when he left QPR. Oh, no. He was at Crystal Palace during COVID, but he really started making strides after he healed from that Achilles injury. That was like 2022. Since then, I have wanted this boy at the club every year. You know, I feared he was going to go to Bayern with Olise and those people. You know, but I said, cool. As I hear the Tottenham, the thing. See, Arsenal has signed 7 players. Yeah, was it 6 or 7? I maybe lost count. But we have signed enough players that you say anybody from the outside say, oh, that's a lot of depth. When I heard Eze was going to Tottenham, that is where I said, are there lights for here? Because Arsenal is going to another season with the same problems. You are one player short. You're one player. That thing that will send you over the top. So when I said, I was like, if you let this thing happen, you are stupid. To your rivals across the pond, you made a design, one of your main targets didn't make any sense. The way they signed him, perfection. Absolute perfection. Terms agreed. Ah, here we go. Agbina, 24 hours, no long time. We really can't haggle over. Do you want Richarlison with the deal? Put the money down, walk off. If you don't get the money, we'll make you come out. Then say release clause, then it bounce. See, back to your question as to whether he's better than anything we have on the left wing, the answer is yes. He's better than Martinelli. He's better than Trossard. He's better than Madueke. The guy is a needle mover. He bangs against every top team. Every top team, when he plays, even in Crystal Palace against your team, they hit him because you know he's on the field. Either he scores some goal against you or he gives some pass against you. Manchester City fans hate him because he puts for them FA Cup where he can't take the trophy. Liverpool, like... Whatever you say against a big team.
Hate is a strong word. Hate is a strong word, but he tried. Like, all right. Cool. We know they hate you, guy.
No. But you get what I mean. When he's on the field, you know he's there. Like, he will disturb you. It's one of those where you're like, Charlie, they need to shut this guy down. So for him coming to Arsenal is perfection because that Martinelli boy, that disappointed Brazilian, no. Somebody where they run every time they look around. Why? You can't learn. How many times you won't make everybody tell you, say, lift your head? Savinho said they lift their head. He said he be a new guy, he can't the league inside. Estevao said they play pass up. So, having Eze there, like when this weekend when Odegaard went down and Saka went down, last year, every Arsenal fan would do so. The hands on the head, you know it's over. If this guy is out for 3 months, Charlie, close your mind for the league. If any of them are, just close your mind. But with the people that they have signed, I'm just like, I bet, cool. You know, anything. We get the players to replace these guys enough to still win games. Like, if I don't expect Martinelli to do anything in the game. So, if you can't put Eze for there, that moves my needle from 60% usage of the left immediately to like 80%. At first, everybody talks to Arsenal be right-sided. If you shut down one on the right side, no, Akpa. Right now, shut down the right side, then go shut down the left side, then shut down the middle to we didn't watch. Where you want shut down, we didn't watch. Already we were a problem without these guys. So I won't see how much they will change it, because they have to change their style of play. That horseshoe of death for stop. That's the way they go put you for your half inside, then left to right. Then they go so if for stop. Now we want I want that Liverpool directness. That's we won't score you. We not get time waste. You have the players to do it. I expect change. So me, this early signing, it top up my transfer window. Anybody they go fit sign who then they want. I know they care again. Because I get the players me they want. Everybody we have signed this window here. I've been very, very happy with. Even Madueke. When Madueke signed, people were saying that why we go collect Chelsea debt. And I said, I will only have a problem with Madueke if that is the only signing we will do for the wing. As long as you can't do Saka backup, I don't mind. I don't want you to be the starting left winger, and that's my problem. So with Madueke, I'm very happy with him as Saka backup because I don't want Saka playing 120 games a year. Then you go tear in hamstring, then you can't do more about that. We'll be dealing with the league. At least this one, if you play him some 70 minutes, they make you go rest. So overall, yes, I'm very excited for Eze. I can't wait to see what he does. And hopefully he plays against Liverpool because I know they love that club.
So the Eze signing is impressive. Definitely. Definitely impressive. Definitely improves Arsenal squad. The problem I have with Arsenal is Arteta. I don't even count the seasons before when you posted the challenge for the league as say he come. I didn't think I would say he's been there for, this is his fourth year in charge. What has he won? That'd be me, my own. What have you won? You have challenged for the league. The first time you were leading the league by, you did go. Where you make Man City come, can't take them. The next season, you try. We go toe-to-toe, kind of. And we don't score you, but we still win the league. Last season was your time. Where you make Liverpool. Dance them away, can't win the thing. By counter, and you finish 3 points ahead of us in our bad season. So for me, Arteta is not a winner. If you don't win anything this season, Corey, I'd ask you, would you want to continue with him? Are you going to stick it out with Arteta?
Yes.
That's why I love you, Arsenal fans, because you forever not win the league.
you see, it's very like you see, I can't count a City fan's opinion. I can't give it weight because you are the flakiest fans ever. You started out because of money. Full stop. You didn't exist until 8 years ago. Let's be very frank.
It was like the club didn't exist 8 years ago.
We won
the league in 2012. That was so,
which is very lovely. Which is very
further back than that.
How many Premier League you win? Part of my, how many with my manager? More than City.
How many Premier League you win?
See.
Not be before the 1992. Would you talk in actual Premier League? How many you win?
Now you want shorten history. Now you want shorten to fit
even,
the agenda.
Even more. Okay. More go back. You win 13. You win 10.
Let's
we go inside too much. Let's be civil.
Let's not have this debate.
Let's be simple.
City, will we continue with Arteta? I think yes. I do agree that he needs to win something this year because they have given you every single tool you require. However, me and not they make the decisions. As a Wenger, do you know how many times we do the Wenger house? The board didn't care. They didn't sack him at the time. They sacked him because the fans were angry. They sacked him because it was a financial decision. Else you wouldn't have left. So when fans try and do pressure, it is until the people that are actually paying the money that get angry that they'll say they'll sack him. And right now, Arteta, there's no way they'll sack him. Because when you sack him, who did? If you sack Arteta right now, who did? Every manager, they insecure location. Who did he go pick?
Arsenal is a big club. They can poach anybody. Or
it's not that simple.
You can poach.
For me, Arteta, I think, is a similar situation to Diego Simeone because I feel like when you have a manager like him, maybe your ceiling might be limited, but your floor is also higher than it would be without him. So with Arteta, you're not going to finish like eighth, like a United or something. But whether you win the league or not, that one, it remains to be seen. That one, I've always said that Arteta, I'm not going to judge him until I see him having a full complement of players. And Pascal, like a top striker. because we've never seen him like with a top striker. Aubameyang, at the time
you've been handicapped this entire time.
I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I think he in terms of attack, they've not had like a proper top attack. It's been Saka and Ishan La for like a long time. So at least now that they have proper striker, now they've added more support to Saka. I don't think they have any more excuses again. So that's where I understand where you're asking whether they would still have faith in him. But at the same time, I understand why they would want to continue with him, because it's like you are safer with him. If you get somebody else, you might do better, but you might also become much worse.
Do a lot worse.
The devil you know.
No, so. That's it. You made a point that we finished second last season, 3 points ahead of City in your worst season. Very lovely. If City had gone through what Arsenal went through last season with injuries, you probably had what, Rodri out, and who?
We had a bunch of injuries. There was a lot of inconsistency in the back line. Ruben Dias was out for a period. Ake was out for a period. Akanji was out for a period. Rodri was out for the season. Pep had marital issues. There were issues. In marriage sets. He and his wife reconcile, they're happy, you know, but Pep is happy.
When you go and play a defensive midfielder and strike, and still finish second, that I go respect your
so you don't respect Pep? Is that what you're saying? I don't respect Pep.
Relax. Pep is a great manager. Is he arguably one of the greatest? However, let him do what he's doing without the money, and let's see.
Why should he be forced to land?
I want to see him build a team the way. Let's say you get Ferguson when he came to United. He started pick boys. Started make this thing. Even Poch, like he has bought his. He has been given enough money to buy his success. Fair. He go land teams with and give him that money. Barca, he had Messi, undisputed. If you have Messi, you win. Bayern.
Say that to the managers that didn't win with Messi. Like there are managers who had Messi and didn't win. So like, what will they talk?
I want to see Pep in a handicapped situation, and he won't do what he's doing now.
What does that prove? Why should I be handicapped because I am the best? Like, explain that to me. Because he was a nobody before he go Barca in first team. He built that Barcelona team. If you like, go check the receipts. He brought in Busquets and Sanz. He made Messi their number 9. So to say that he should go to some lower team because he won't see how he go do, it doesn't make sense to me. Because why should I be penalized because I am better than you? There are plenty managers that have gone to clubs with money and still not had even close to the success that Pep has had. The amount of dominance Pep has had in the league, Charlie, that is not just down to money. Motivating your players to want to win the league 4 years in a row, it is not simply money. Or am I mistaken? That can anybody say they can spend their way into winning 4 in a row?
Money is a really phenomenal manager.
His ability to make the players want to win stuff is unmatched. Let Arteta do some and I respect him. Arsenal as a team, I have not respected for a while, because Arsenal have always been an almost team. My earliest memory of Arsenal was the 4-0 they were leading against Everton and they drew 4-4. That was like, Arsenal.
Newcastle.
Arsenal, what's up? There's always Arsenal, what's up? Arsenal are almost there and then they don't win anything. So for me to respect Arsenal, if you win them this season, I'm not going to talk Arsenal the matter again. Now, they like laugh Arsenal fans because they are just easy targets. Because they will hype say, we'll win the league, and then they don't win it. So if this season you win them, I will stop the laugh Arsenal fans. But so far, it is all just speculation what they do for you. So we'll see how the season will go.
I've just been quiet listening to the back and forth between Pep and his prodigy, because Arteta was understudying when he was at City, so he was Pep's assistant. before going to Arsenal. And I am torn. I love Curry, right? And I'm happy Curry is happy with football once again. I'm happy my brother is happy with his team and is full of life. But before all this back and forth, I removed my agenda hat. But this back and forth pissed me off. I have to wear my agenda hat back. And I love you, my bro, but I have to do this. First of all, let me talk about the signing. I love Eze. I love him. I love him very much. He's a good player. Anybody where you go talk, say, this is not an upgrade on what Arsenal has, that's a lie. You see, there's something about buying EPL proven players. Players that are leaders in their team. That they come into your team because of their aura and who they are and what they've built and how they understand the league. When they come, you instantly see their importance. Someone like Eze, he can play Odegaard's position. He can play Martinelli's position. Automatically, that left wing is for him because Arsenal right now is playing 4-3-3. Automatically, he's better than... Look, yesterday, Madueke played left wing. When I saw it, I laughed because I knew he would be ineffective there. And he was ineffective there. Because he's a player that likes to cut in. He doesn't like to go out. He always likes to come in. When he goes out, he uses his right. So he was literally struggling over there. He was literally struggling over there yesterday when I was watching the match. It was only when he came in through when Saka got injured and he had to move to the right wing. That's when you could see him. But this is a signing. He paid me. Because the guy be baller. I wanted him to go to Spurs. He paid me. He paid me well, because he's one of the players in the league I do admire from his story, what he has been through, from where he started, what happened to him, tearing his... He's like, I think he's one of the players that recently tore their ACL that have come back and they've taken their game to a higher level. That's why I like him.
Yeah,
right? That's why I do like him. What do you say?
He tore his Achilles.
Achilles. Right, and he has come back because it's very hard to tear your Achilles when you are running and kicking and all and come back. Basketball players go through that; they come back and they play mainly because they use their hand, even though you move your feet and all. But with a footballer, it's way harder, right? And make nobody lie, he pay me. Say Havertz for it before this people go buy this guy. He pay me or like Havertz no go wait, and it was a foolish boy Ugarte who go cause all of this to foolish boy. If you know where you go cause this thing, if you know you had Havertz, you had to be a United Link nonsense team. Anyways, so after praising, is it? Curry. Now, since winning the FA Cup, Arteta has spent £1 billion. Has nothing to show for it. Has second place trophies to show for it. He has spent twice.
He has as won much the community, as community shield though. So let's nobody, give that to them.
Nobody counts that, and he knows.
Let's give it to them.
Curry will not even count. Curry will not even count it.
Let's give it to
Curry will not even count. And Curry was saying that let Pep use a defensive midfielder as a striker and finish second. Make we see. So in that. If they try praise Arteta. First of all, Havertz never be DM. Havertz be AM, attacking midfielder. He was signed by Arteta to play the 8.
I think he was talking about Merino, or?
Or wasn't it? I think Rice, like, there are so many players.
No, he was talking about Merino. Sorry, he was talking about Merino. Oh, Merino.
Okay. Yeah. My bad.
And I hate defending Pep, but if they talk about coach way he has been more innovative in this life, nobody will compare to Pep. If he comes even playing that stupid false nine with anybody, I have seen Pep win the league without a striker. I have seen Pep win the league without a number 9. I have seen Pep win the league with Jesus Navas. I say Jesus Navas. Jesus, your player, your striker, I know where you go
buy. You can't buy team. Jesus. Where he did right there? Where is
you can't buy him. I've seen Pep win with... So me,
I didn't watch the games.
See, Arteta has had the opportunity. Arteta has always had the opportunity to buy an attacker. He always prioritized his defense and midfield. So let's not act like Arteta was dealt a bad hand. No. This window, we all knew that what Arsenal wanted the most, or what Arsenal needed the most, was a striker. His first signing was still a central midfielder. His second signing was the defender. We all know that Haram Nation, that's what that guy likes. Score and shut the door. In big matches, say hell, play 6-7 defenders on the park. He'll play 5 and 2 defensive midfielders. 7! In big matches. Sometimes 8! Because that guy's a terrorist. And then, when you don't win the league, they can't tell we say, Enna, players go injury. You see, it pisses me off because why is the Arsenal fans are the only ones that have to use injury? They're the only ones that have to use injury as this one. You have a squad. You built a squad, right? And it annoys me that in the beginning of the season, when everything is going on well, you don't hear anything. Last 3 months, when they start bottling and they start misbehaving, that is when you hear, oh, we didn't have this player at this time. We didn't have this player at this time. We didn't have player. Liverpool won the league with fucking Nunes as number 9. Nunes. They won the league with Nunes. Liverpool gets a new coach. Let me tell you something. In as much as that Liverpool squad was good there, nobody saw this coming, that Arne Slot was going to win the league with Liverpool in his first season. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming. Arteta is on his what, 6th or 7th season, right? 6th season. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Since COVID, he has spent 1 billion, 0 trophies.
Mm-hmm.
It a go. This season, Arsenal has no excuse. You have no excuse not to win the league. Mm-hmm. Because you go by Bain. You go by Bain. See? See, Arsenal, this season, you still sign players past United. United will finish 15th. You still sign more players past United. You have no excuse not to win the league. Second place, if we no go take. And this Arteta that you are saying that if Arteta doesn't even win the league, you think they will stick with him and all those? No. It's like, that's who you are. The second place will be trophy for you. At your state now, the second place will be trophy for you. So if your man finished there again, that is your level. You'll be happy. You take it again without it. So make you not do like, you're not going to sack Arteta because I even hated the fact that Smiley do this Simeone. Bro, Simeone win La Liga and things. Make you never do that thing. Simeone win Europa League back to back and things. Win Super Cup. No, do that. Plus, Simeone can't do like, Simeone can't. Look, if Arteta were the battle Madrid, in the battle of Madrid and Barcelona for the Spain, they're like, is it, you ever go finish again?
As opposed to battling City, Liverpool, Chelsea. It's not
relax.
Listen to what I'm saying. When we are doing La Liga and EPL, right, argument, right? It is Madrid and Barcelona. Listen to what I'm saying. It's Madrid and Barcelona and the rest. Madrid and Barcelona, they're different here. As compared to any team in the EPL. Agreed? Yes or no?
In terms of quality? Like, they are better teams than any team.
In terms of everything. Because sure, year in, year out, Madrid, they show it for the Champions League. That they are above everybody. Barcelona to show it over the years. If you go head-to-head, EPL versus Madrid and Barcelona, you know this. Then they have everybody beaten. Except maybe Chelsea, then Barcelona, where they go V5 more. That one said, we don't say it is some way. But you know this. Even if you go down, come to Sevilla, come to all those teams, in terms of we meeting them in finals and all those things, they have us beat. But the argument I'm doing is, when Simeone won his La Liga, Messi and Iniesta, Xavi, everybody, they did them a prime. When Simeone won it. You understand? The time Simeone goes sign for Falcao and things, where they dominate Europa, where they win and things, Europa for them and things. He had a good team. He has done it before. I don't want to hear Arteta in the names of some coaches like he do something. Let's stop this. Let's not compare. Let's not mention that guy's name. I've said it and said it to Corey that as long as you have Arteta, you are not winning any major team. Right now, he has been back to the point that he has no excuse or no reason not to win anything. Your defense set, your midfield set, your attack set, even your bench set. Even your fans set, because right now they have you back, super fan. Everything set. You have the will of 14 turning in your favor. My brother, no slack. And bottle the league. It go over you.
I honestly admire Arsenal fans. Like your ability to back a loser essentially is fascinating to watch.
It's very easy for other fans to talk that way.
And to put him in the same bracket as Simeone. Look, Simeone has won things. Granted, he doesn't win it regularly, but he has won things. He has been to Champions League finals and unfortunately lost.
And I mean, their situations is different.
Very, very different situations. You live up.
A big team like Arsenal. This is what you reduce yourself to. That if a coach not win in 6 years, you are okay. I let go Madrid and I'm a 40-10 from Simeone. Simeone, what he do for them? Unless he now say they left. Simeone, unless he know they say, even he said then they back him.
You win EFL Cup safe, then we go back for you. Win EFL Cup, that's all we ask. Win something. Win something, okay?
There are a lot of things that would trigger a lot of Arsenal fans. All of these agenda arguments, it just goes over. Like, it's just like, ha, 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 okay, fine. Like, laugh at everything. So it's like a waste of time.
It's not much, actually.
Oh, no. I mean, it's very easy for opposing fans to say what they like and judge your team and da, da, da. Me, I know where Arsenal have been before and I know what we are doing now. If you say make a trade what we were before to what we are now, I look at you like you're stupid. Because I know what every team gets. You people won't change your manager every year if you don't win something. United, they do this boom. I don't like you. Hey, you come in.
I don't mind.
The coaches wear a sack or they give me trophy. They give me trophy.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice. What I want. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, look, we sit back as fans and well,
maybe that's the... If it can, it come. If it not come, I don't want to hear that thing from you.
Oh.
don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Make Corey land. Because we can't move on to the next topic. So make Corey
land. What do you mean by if it come? I'm not going to make it land. If it can, it come. If you not come to, what do you mean by if it can?
Your only
target to win the league or win Champions League. I'm gonna tell you. You win FA Cup. You win FA Cup. You win FA Cup.
We spent a lot of time on Arsenal, so make Corey land and then we move.
The whole yes, it's true that there shouldn't be any excuses this season. You have your team. You said you wanted a team, a set team. Da, 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 da. You have your teams. No excuses and this thing. Fine. But I say again, he will not be sacked even if he doesn't win. And because
no, we don't want him sacked.
It's not up to anybody here. You say he's an almost coach, you don't get which it. Is fine.
We don't want him sacked.
I get it perfectly. No. You said Arsenal's an almost team every time, which is fine, which we have been. Which is why you people are able to say that. As I said, me, I won't see what this end of season go bring. You have to win this, you have to win that. Get the fuck out of here with all that bullshit. A lot of people go into seasons without this. You have to do that thing.
What are your expectations?
Essentially, it's the journey. What are expectations? Destination, right? It's the journey, not the destination.
You go spend one billion.
Every Arsenal fans wants a premiership. Once a user. Last season, you see, bro, I shed tears. it pained me. I was done. This exit thing is the only reason why I'm back. So as I said, make I see my boy. What's my boy going to do? Give me. So I make me move on from this bullshit. Because this guy's one
sentence.
Hey,
moving on.
Smiley, last one. You spend money, go marry woman. They talk, say, hey, if she loves me, cool. If she give me sex, cool. If she cook, cool. Me, I did anything she go do, yeah. Meanwhile, go pay bride price, go pay big wedding. They can't tell you, say, if she come bed for house, cool. Me, I did. If she married, she not bed, cool. Me, I did. If she cook, she not cook, cool. Me, I did. If she doing home job, if you do, pass as a wife, oh, cool. Me, I did.
I won't see you people. The way you people want Sack Amorim right now, yeah. A lot of United fans are waiting for him to go. If you sack Amorim, who you gonna go for?
Please, we know they can't do that one right now. I beg. Moving on, Man City. Last week said a lot of things about Man City. It looked like Man City were back to their best. He was very excited about a lot of things, and it looks like almost everything he said and almost all the people he spoke positively about. You like then throw some small pie for your face inside, because you spoke about Trafford. Charlie. Trafford had a stinker. He spoke about Shaky stinker.
Had a stinker.
Spoke about Reinders stinker.
Stinker.
And Pep, it seems like the issues that Man City had last season don't really seem to have been solved, because Pep typically struggles against Thomas Frank teams. There wasn't much of a change. He struggles against Tottenham too for some reason. That one too, there wasn't much of a change. So Charlie, what went wrong? Like, do you think this is something that shows that City haven't really changed much from last season, or it's just a minor blip?
Before I go start, like I just say, Corey, everything we talk will be facts, yeah? Nobody do your agenda. We just tell you the facts on the ground. Now moving on to City. Very disappointing day at the office. I'm not going to lie. Like, Spurs are, for some reason, our bogey team. It'd be like every season we have some customary points dropped against Spurs. I don't understand it. I can't explain to you why he knew this at all. But, and Trafford, yeah, Charlie, that was a horrible. He should have even been sent off for that kudos challenge thing. I was disappointed. And I think last week I mentioned that Cherky, I didn't particularly like him starting games. He generally comes, that's his flicks and tricks, gets a goal, and then we move, feed him up. Reinders didn't have a good game, but there were, and I honestly can't explain why we don't really see Spurs them at top, but there are seasons where we've lost home and away to Spurs and won the league. Seasons where we lost home and away to a Thomas Frank team and we still won the league, feed him up. So I'm not particularly worried
now,
about...
I don't say Gofi be humble, so... Give me reasons why they lose. I can't tell you, say, you don't know why, you don't know why.
Don't
you
know
everything
know
about Arsenal. I know where you start supporting the team.
You
know
where they lose, bro.
Explain the team. Break the team down. I can't tell you that.
I know.
Coach Nako ball formation full.
However,
yeah, ball formation full. You don't know why you lose. You last week, last week, they listen with you. I mean, I'm going to make you talk, safe. Last week, and they listened with tears. In my eyes, I see this press smiley in neck. When Van Gelder took the other they against I do, eh? See, eh? As they go enter yesterday, they go, eh? As they enter yesterday, I scream, I make my mommy say, hey, why? I scream, oh! Like, you know, my team. First of what this guy do last week for the portal. They ask them what they do, I don't know why we don't know what's be Spurs. I don't know why.
Bro, you know what's funny about this whole thing?
Break that team, break that game down.
Make a break down. So make a talk already on that. Make a talk already.
So make it talk.
All right. So Pep has always been vulnerable to transitions. Like, even when we win the league, Iribab, like, it has, these are not goals that we've not considered before, Iribab. And I've seen Edison do the exact same thing Trafford did yesterday. You know, but it's a flaw in Pep's philosophy. Attack-wise, Charlie, we go do everything, but defensively, sometimes. And Pep is not. We've never had like very good defenders. We've had ball-playing defenders who can defend. But if you go Otamendi, even Kompany Seff, as much as we like to hype him up, he wasn't particularly a very solid defender in certain games. You know about. So, look, I like I said, it is Spurs. That is all I can say for that game. It happened. We move. There were positives up for the game. Rodri is back. Foden is back. So we could see what will happen at the end of the season. If we keep, I'll start to get worried if we keep losing to teams we should be beating. If we lose to Brighton, I'll be worried. If we lose to United, I'll be worried.
Nonsense. So, last season, I'll not score you.
Did you just say Alan? City have not had good defenders?
I didn't say that. I said not very good defensively. Like, they're not very good defensively. Great defenders, but it's more about their ball-playing ability versus their defending. Otamendi was never a great defender. We had even Mangala at some point in City. He wasn't a great defender. But
Pep, all right, Mangala played 5 games.
He managed to get something from him. You know, so we had like
Mangala.
John Stones as he came.
Mangala didn't play single. Mangala didn't play single man for Pep. Go and check.
He did. I didn't watch City games. He did. Against Spurs. He played against Spurs. I did the form.
Mangala.
Mangala,
they are not, like, say Mangala, there. Mangala, I know sure they play 10 games for Pep.
The point if they talk defensively, they talk Cancelo. Cancelo was poor defensively. Let's not go into Cancelo right now. Cancelo was a very poor defender.
Anyways,
very good attacker, anyways, poor defender.
Corey, I think Delasi, thank you for your biased breakdown of what happened. We have the real breakdown here on what happened. Look, genius, it comes to a time you don't overcomplicate things. See, what has worked for City in the past that you fail to understand this? Anytime Pep is building a team, right? You know, Pep has never really gotten a chance to build a team with players that he had to give them time. So, Dipe, Mamouche was a panic buy. City fans will not agree, I don't care. Mamouche was a panic buy because last season, Pep did see some stars he never seen some before. The last time he ever see those stars was the first time he came EPO, where he chopped third or fourth in his first season. That when they meam left, right, center. Last season, what Pep go through, he never sees one before. Mamouche was a panic buy. Now, Pep set up 4-2-3-1 against Spurs. Right. I thought Spurs was going to play the Thomas Frank likes a 5-back, but he played 4-3-3. That'd be first formation we all know. Or 4-1-4-1, as Pep they like play sometimes. In the same game, he changed 4-1-4-1 to 4-2-3-1. And this thing where then they do, I always say that, like, the time he had Rodri in his prime, the time he had De Bruyne and all those players, Foden. Now, I don't even want to talk about Foden and all those things, right? In his recent winning teams, in his recent winning seasons, there have not been any team that you say he adequately challenged Pep like Jurgen Klopp did. I will even count Arsenal. Arsenal did well, but the team who pushed Pep to the limit was Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool with Mane, Salah, and all those, and Firmino. All right, that's when we saw some of the highest point tally to win a league and all those. You win the whole season without losing or even losing one, then you're not going to win league. That was the best, like, that was the threshold I'd ever seen. And if you study those teams, right, the time he had Sterling, he had Aguero, he had like personalities, he had players that could do things, he had players that even if Pep information not go on self, individual brilliance, go fish. Right now, that's what City lack. He doesn't have players that can turn the game around on their neck. And in EPL, nobody will give you that. I always talk to Haaland. It was just a matter of time for teams to figure Haaland out. They start to fight him. That's EPL for you. Everybody adapts. Doku is no good. The small boy you play people play for right wing back. He not reach. Pep the six stars. Foden come, he still top three. You bring this guy from the bench, Bernardo Silva, you still not see top. Right now, this be the season where Pep for sure we see he hasn't lost it. Mind you, nobody is saying Pep is not a great coach, but Pep has always had it easy in England. Let's not even do that. He bought players last season. He's selling already. But nobody go hold Pepe next year. Go buy player.
If they talk that, I beg, forgive examples. Who would they sell? Who would buy? Who would they sell?
Savino, you know they sell Savino.
Spurs are interested in him. No, relax. Spurs are interested in buying Savino. If Spurs meets the valuation, he can go. If not, he will stay.
Oh, and so now they are not a seller. Pep has always.
Which kind of semantics
this guy they do? If you meet the valuation. Now, listen to this guy. Oh. If you meet the valuation, he can go. I get my car. Everybody knows say, the market value for my car be 100 million. I say, I know they sell my car. If you bring the 100 million, I go take. Semantics this guy they do for you.
As we talk,
anyways,
he be City fan.
The defender, he also Smiley, help me. The defender he bought last season, isn't he already gone?
Ooh.
Or he's willing to sell him?
Victories, whatever.
He's for sale.
They follow Man City news. I don't see say he there on sale. So this be news.
Follow, of course. Why you think say follow your
watch then see.
See.
I'll go watch and see if he's on sale.
Or whatever, bring money for Bruno. The team talk say it's up to Bruno, but we put Bruno for the transfer. We put him on the transfer. So don't even get that. You think United go report say go United side, go see. You think the Garnacho is for sale there? You see the Garnacho, you know, follow City News. City, this one will tell you, this one is for sale. Or what did they tell you? Know? All we are saying is Pep is the only coach, and he has always been the only coach that will buy a 50 million player, and nobody will question him because he wins. And a 50 million player can be on the bench, and you go and buy another 50 million player to come and replace a 50 million player on the bench where that guy said not play one season or two seasons safe.
Then send the $100 million sign to Everton.
Listen to what we are saying. We are saying,
what are you saying?
Right now, the excuse you can't use say Pep they go through divorce. Hey, may I tell something? We know coaches that my wife dies safe, then can't coach win match. We know who people then go through tragedy where they can't,
you know,
they can't
you know,
do.
If you just talk, we know people then I go back. Who that
you
talk about?
What be name? Tony Pulis. Go Google him. Tony Pulis had.
We bring Tony Pulis into this. Okay.
Hey, you say what? You said if I give you an example. I'm giving you an example.
Honestly, you said example. You're saying that Pep in marriage affected your league.
I'm saying that. Stoke City was playing a match. Tony Pulis couldn't come, right? He had to bury, what is it, his wife or his mom or something. It was a huge tragedy. He didn't come. They were losing. Second half, he come. Then Shock say your man come, the jaw come, then this one, then Stoke City win the match. We've seen people where they take personal time off, go do this one, come back, can't win. Then we see coaches where they say they get terminal illness, coach them a team, win this one. The time Basa get this guy, this coach for this, the way he get it, terminal, this one, cancer or something, I forget the coach.
No,
let me
Enrique.
He get some, this one, say, you don't win league plus, Basa. I can't tell me that thing I do say, Pep. Yes, last season, Pep see Shege. No can tell we say it be marital Wait. Issues. That guy already know they give time to his wife. They tell me they win, or you don't get time for his wife. No can use this excuse, say the guy was shaking. the guy was shaking his ass on the yacht. he was taking his ass on a yacht for the Abu Dhabi already. No can do like last. Is he? Why did wife won't let him in the first place? No, sorry. Why he didn't get time for a wife? Why won't let him? Your man won't do
Your man forgot. Your man forgot. The wife no go left him. In the way Pep did, he be very focused on football. So I'm not even. I did not say United fans no go like Mata because I hate United. That would be facts. Well, Arsenal I find amusing. But United, you chop 16th, you know, Bob. So this thing you do, you know, it affects me for anything, you know, Bob.
Do you know some teams? Make I tell you the truth. Some teams they, I can never banter them. Some teams they, anything you people go talk, I'm not sure they ever go even touch my garments. Like a City fan. A City fan can never ever throw me anything. Like, I've said it then. City can win 15 leagues in a row. I'll never see them as my co-equals. Like, me and you are rivals.
Question. May I give you an example?
Make her ask you a question. Only be rivals because then they are crap.
Make her ask you a question. The way you know the biz, should I care? Should I care about your opinion?
I don't think it's about you per se. Uh-huh. I think it's about you. Maybe you know they misunderstand.
If you know the city fan, they make fun of you. Why should I care whether you care whether I win 15 in a row? What I care be my
it's
happiness.
No, listen. It's not about if you truly care about your happiness, right? You not base your happiness on somebody else's downfall. If you are that great.
Oh, that'd be fun. We all they do for you. That's fun.
No, that's not the point.
Exactly, you are doing the
and I tell you thing. Say you me, do I will finish, thing, see,
so why make I not do
see,
so?
See, me finishing 16th. Me finishing 16th, eh?
Oh, you're not finishing 16th. It's a bigger news. Currently 16th.
No, I'll give you an example.
You're currently 16th.
Me finishing 16th, eh? It's a bigger news than City winning the league.
If you say so.
You know that.
If you say so.
If you say so.
See? I take your word for it. You know, Bob. If you anyways, say so, I hear. You know, Bob.
Anyways.
That'd be cool.
How I'll end with. The mere fact say you put Arteta for here and Arsenal for here say Arsenal win the league. This season two is a test to Pep. Coach what you have.
I don't
bring the best out of what you have. Show us the pedigree. Show us the genius you are.
Win the league as well, or finish second. There's nothing I said last week that I'm going to change. I am excited for the season. Rodri is back. Foden is back. This is a result that we've had in seasons we've won the title. So, Mok will see how it will go. It's a fun season to watch. So, let's see. If Pep managed win now, he'd be the best. If you know win now, yeah, Charlie, I will accept my laughings like that. But as far as I'm concerned, we are better than all of
you. Ain't the same talk.
Look, make you not put look, Curry, respectfully. But make you not put me and Curry in the same. Make you not put me and Curry in the same bracket. My coach has won for
the same thing. Curry talk.
What in coach win? Oh no, what in coach win? I can speak from my position because I won 4 in a row. What has Arteta won? Like, we win treble. We get 100 points. Like, what has Arteta won? So, Corey, respectfully, I refuse to be put in the same bracket as you. You know, Bob. So, Moku, see.
It's you, beg you. When it comes to the end of this episode, if you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast, GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle. Subscribe to our YouTube as always, After the Whistle Podcast. Leave a comment, share the episodes if you can, like the episodes, just anything you can do to interact. Give us feedback on the episodes as well, positive, negative, we take everything. Charlie, guys, it's been a long episode, but once again, thank you for joining us. Delasi, Curry, Crack. Delasi, we hope to have you again on future episodes because the man's still hatred, we need him small, so Charlie. Thank you for joining us and Crack Curry as always.
Oh, this season, if we lose the
Make I just talk. Say if we lose the Manchester derby that week, I'm not going to be available. So make I'm not subjecting myself to this. To this.
This abuse. This abuse. Voluntary abuse.
I don't know who would bring himself for that slaughter. So we don't watch.
Anyway, Charlie, Corey, it's good to have you guys back. We're hoping that, Charlie, we are going to be more consistent because the past few months, generally, the podcast, we've not been too consistent. So we're hoping that now the season is back, we are going to be way more consistent, putting out episodes at least every Monday. So, Charlie, guys, once again, thank you. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.